Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot. And also, at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to A Good Football Show. I'm Patrick Daugherty, joined today by Mr. Craig Dennis Carter at edcarter13 on Twitter. Your name identity is not confusing at all, Denny.
No, and I have six different names that I go by. I was called different things in high school and college, and then as a professional, so it's not confusing. You're right.
You're just be picking up aliases as you go, as you age, I'm sure, too. And today we're going to be taking a spin through the NFL's post-trade landscape, checking in on the depleted Patriots, the improved Colts, the fortified Dolphins, the Chiefs, who are both depleted and improved, question mark. We'll also check in on some of the lower key free agent winners from Denny's recent article, one of whom may be no longer a winner after some developments Tuesday morning as a tease for later in the podcast. But one team I didn't mention there, Denny, was the Carolina Panthers, who I don't know if we've ever seen a team down quite this bad at quarterback, where they whiffed on every big trade acquisition. They have Sam Darnold they're talking up as a starter. They have a college prospect who literally blew them off.
Yeah.
Didn't want to have dinner with them. Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral. You pronounce that Corral, right, by the way? I just had to panic. Like, am I saying his name right?
I think that's right. But yeah, Matt Corral, who, you know, would presumably be up for meeting with NFL teams, who would maybe draft him and give him a starting job as a rookie. And but the Panthers, he said, no, I'm booked. I'm sorry.
He had a thing. He was going to, I mean, he's a real dad. He was going to the 50th anniversary re-release of The Godfather, something I did a few weeks ago. Oh, so man. I was actually with Matt Corral, is why he blew off. He couldn't break our friend date for The Godfather. But yeah, I mean, wow. If you seriously are a team where you have a top 10 pick and the top quarterback doesn't even want to meet with you? I mean, God.
Well, Corral's not the top quarterback, right?
No, he's in the mix, though. He actually, apparently, like, no one can decide this year.
Right. He's the top.
We're big prospect gurus.
Yeah.
You and I only care about Malik Willis. That's
right. The only one I know. We care about. It's the only college player I know. It makes you wonder if a quarterback drafted in the first round by the Panthers is going to want to play for them. You know, are we going to have an Eli situation here where he's going to say, no, thanks, I'm good. I'll wait it out.
And that'd be pretty unusual at number 8. Usually that's a power play you make at number 1. Or excuse me, the Panthers are number 6. Like, quite the power play to make if you're like the team is number 6. And yeah, our producer Adam reminds us, by the way, Matt Corral is actually Chris Sims' top-ranked quarterback in this class.
All right.
I knew he was in the mix for a lot of people. Chris Sims, highly respected for his quarterback evaluation. Even though his quarterback evals is like one of the, like, every year, like, Chris gets hammered for like not liking like really loving some guy, and he's usually always right. So if you think our friend Chris is wrong on one this year, he'll probably just end up being right. So remember that. So he's Chris Sims' top-ranked quarterback, and he doesn't want to meet with the Carolina Panthers, which is just, something clearly his word is out about something with the Panthers. Yeah. We have professionals and amateurs alike who do not want to.
Well, it's a lame duck coach, and I think everybody knows that. Like, he's Matt Rhule almost has no avenue toward keeping his job for 2023. Right? I mean, it would be, honestly, it would be an upset if Matt Rhule can be the head coach through the 2022 season. You know, I think you have to expect some sort of change from David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, who is, you know, A, very impatient, apparently, and B, just thirsty as hell to win. You know, I mean, just really, really thirsty. And he's not going to put up with this much longer, even though both Matt Rhule and David Tepper were short order cooks, which is why, of course, he hired Matt Rhule in the first place. Anyway, it's a disaster. And if you look at Matt Rhule's attire at the owners meeting this week, you might ask, you know, if that really exudes professionalism. He looked like maybe he had just woken up and rolled out of bed and thrown on a shirt and some pants. And others, Sean McVay and others, look like, you know, models, Macy's models.
Yeah, and I'm not claiming I iron my pants, but Matt Rhule could have. Those pants were pretty. I mean, I've never seen so many wrinkles in a pair of pants in my life as Matt Rhule had in his coaching photograph, team photo, man. Or whatever.
Like, I get like the working man, everyman appeal. Like, I get that. But I think first you have to be good, and then you can be like, hey, I'm just a dude. I'm just a guy. I have wrinkles in my pants, but I win. But you have to win first.
Yeah, you need to win 5 or 6 Super Bowls to wear cut-off hoodies.
Yes,
with holes in them, like Bill Belichick.
Right. It looks like if Belichick, you would give him $1 if you passed him on the street. But you have to be good first.
I've noticed Belichick never has wrinkled pants, though. I will say that. Even Belichick's like, dear my God, man. You can't have the pants just like falling off your legs. What's this all about, young man? Yeah, and by the way, I would say David Tepper might also be a bit of a salesman like Matt Rhule, because Matt Rhule, you know, got the job by billing himself as Mr. Analytics when he was clearly anything but. Whereas David Tepper keeps like billing himself as like, I want to win right now. Like, I'm tired of this. And yet he just doesn't fire Matt Rhule and like lets him fire Joe Brady.
Yeah.
So I think maybe there's a bit of a salesman job going on with David Tepper too.
I think it's right. I think it's salesman versus salesman. And I think both of them are very good at that. It's so funny. It's so funny that Matt Rhule came in as the analytics guy who, and I remember there was a huge red flag where he was like quoted extensively as the coach. He was coach at Baylor. Is that right?
He was. And before that, Temple. And he's so addicted to signing players who went to Temple. It's unbelievable.
Yes, right. And there was an Athletic piece quoted anonymous people in the locker room saying Matt Rhule favors guys from Temple. And we can't get a fair shot for, like, agent said, you can't get a fair shot for my guy because he's not from Temple. Which really, really raises some red flags, I think.
Well, I mean, if you're at least favoring a school, you know, it's in the SEC with a storied football history like Temple.
When you think of dominant programs, you think of Temple.
Yeah, and I will say, you said there was no way for Matt Rhule to save his job. I mean, if they improve Sam Darnold's arm strength, his pocket presence, his decision-making, his durability, they improve all those things with Sam Darnold, and I think they've got a good shot.
Denny. Yeah,
I think Sam Darnold a completely different human and quarterback. I think Matt Rhule could save his job.
I mean, I do think that the most alarming aspect of their quarterback situation is that there's still chatter about Cam Newton possibly rejoining the team after Cam Newton was, besides Mike Glennon, the worst quarterback in the NFL last season.
I thought you were going to say besides Sam Darnold and besides PJ Walker.
No, PJ Walker and Sam Darnold were markedly better than Cam.
They were, man. Which poor Cam. Yeah, Cam needs to give it up just because, like, it's rare to see like the physical ability go like that, like thoroughly. But his arm is just shot. His shoulder got just jacked up.
Yeah,
his arm is shot.
I know we're a little far afield here, but I do think that there is a room or a spot for Cam Newton on a contending team, which he said he's not playing for some 5-win team, which would presumably eliminate Carolina. You know, he could be a short yardage and goal line guy for a good team. So just as long as he doesn't have to throw. And I don't mean that in a funny way, like his shoulder is not right.
Yeah. And Cam is like the only player who's ever been good, like in that role, basically. Like teams are always trying to like there was a year where I can't even remember. Was it the Dolphins? Like tried to make Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, oh, I think it was the Colts one year. Tried to make Jacoby Brissett like a goal line specialist, and it just didn't go well.
He would just get walloped at the 2 yard line.
And like Taysom Hill basically never panned out in that role. Whereas like Cam Newton, even when he was bad for the Patriots, even when he was bad for the Panthers, like if they got inside the 10 yard line, he's like automatically scored a touchdown.
Yeah. You know, it would be, but for fantasy purposes, it would be a nightmare for whoever he signs with. Like it would be really difficult to judge like if the running back's going to get any opportunity near the goal line or whatever. But from a real football standpoint, you could do way worse than signing Cam Newton.
So we just spent 9 minutes talking about the Panthers quarterback situation, which means that we're now going to talk about Ronald Jones. What you lead a show with is the Panthers quarterback situation, Ronald Jones. The Chiefs have indeed signed the ex-Bruce Arians punching bag to a one-year deal worth up to, quote-unquote, $5 million. Andy Reid has claimed he could be a big part of the offense, which sounds like coach speak, but also, like, on paper, Ronald Jones and Clyde Edwards-Helaire are pretty good compliments, with Ronald Jones being, like, a pure early-down banger, a guy who just cannot catch passes without immediately turning it in to, like, a fumble or an interception, or CH, who has not proven himself as a pass catcher either, but has not proven himself in early downs. Profiles is a very good third down back. Do you actually buy in to Ronald Jones potentially having a will he even make the team? And then do we buy into him having a big role with the Chiefs? Yeah.
I think it would be quite the upset if Rojo does not make the roster. You know, I know he's like a punchline at this point, Ronald Jones, because of the chances he got with the Bucs, or the chances he didn't get with the Bucs, really. And the way that Leonard Fournette took over that role, like a role that was just sitting there waiting for Ronald Jones to seize. He is a bad pass catcher. There's nothing I can say about that.
He's not just a bad pass catcher. He's like an actively harmful one.
I would say catastrophic.
Yeah, he's actively harmful to the team's chances of winning as a pass catcher.
But here's some numbers that I'd like to share with the audience here. Maybe some Rojo truthers will enjoy these. So last season, Jones gained 239 rushing yards over expected on inside runs during the regular season. That was the second most in the NFL behind only Derrick Henry, who had 296. When you look at expected points added per rushing attempt, he was second in the league last season. And this is on, you know, limited usage, but he has proven, honestly, proven efficient time and again in the NFL. If he can just stabilize and take an early down role, you know, with the Chiefs, and what, you know, how valuable that will be is truly up for consideration in an offense that had the league's highest pass rate over expected last year. So, you know, they're not establishing, but still it would be nice to get to see Ronald Jones take that role.
It would be, and because he is a guy who he can create some of his own yards. And as we know, not every NFL back can do that, but you don't even need to really create your own yards when Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback. And that's been a weird thing about the Chiefs the past few years. As we saw with like the two high safeties, they didn't have a running back that could make teams pay for these looks.
Right.
Like that's where we saw like where running back does matter. We're like, you don't need a superstar running back, but you do need a running back who can actually, like, when you give them a soft front, like, take advantage of it. And the Chiefs just didn't really have that last year and have been just really struggling at running back for 2 or 3 years. I mean, their only period of, like, good running back play, like, the past 2 or 3 years was, like, Damian Williams in the Super Bowl run, that one postseason.
Yeah.
Other than that, they haven't had, like, anyone who, like, will just chew up. So he'll chew up what the defense gives him and also create some of his own yards. So it actually is – I mean, it's like the 50th time we're telling people they can be excited about Ronald Jones, but believe us, this time it's for real, folks.
Well, and the best thing about Ronald Jones from a fantasy perspective is that he's so reviled, universally hated by fantasy managers that there's no way that his ADP is going to skyrocket. Like people just hate him. They've given up on him. I'm keeping some faith, and I think he's in as good a spot as you could hope.
No, he is. I think the Chiefs view him as like a too high safety solution and will actually make a defense pay for giving them that soft kind of front. And it's a very intriguing addition. And just the kind of, a move the team should be making, like the second wave of free agency. So nice move by the Chiefs. And this time it counts for Ronald Jones. Colts coach Frank Reich is claiming that new quarterback Matt Ryan Denny will actually throw to Nyheim Hines.
Yeah.
Something Carson Wentz didn't do. And frankly, we didn't want Carson Wentz to do. Like, Jonathan Taylor won several fantasy leagues for me last year, so I wasn't really exactly clamoring for more Nyheim Hines targets. And I won't be this year either, since Jonathan Taylor is such a special player and is a good pass catcher. I don't really understand why he needs like a satellite compliment back. But Frank Reich is saying this is going to be a thing. After 2 years ago, I don't know if you wrote this blurb, but we're pointing out how Hines, he was third amongst running backs in targets and receptions behind J.D. McKissic and Alvin Kamara in 2020 before falling off last year. So what can we realistically expect from Nyheim Hines with Matt Ryan under center in Indianapolis?
Well, I mean, it makes sense if you believe that, A, the Colts signed Hines to a pretty rich contract extension last offseason, if they did that for a reason. And also, if you believe that, you know, running back targets and receptions are largely a quarterback stat, we're still looking into that strongly. But, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, had targeted running backs only on 9% of his attempts coming into 2021.
I just try to remember your train of thought. I've already made this point in the podcast, but the dude doesn't throw to running backs. He doesn't throw to receivers. We are really trying to find who Carson Wentz actually throws.
And we still don't know.
We still don't know. We're having our best people, like you said, looking into it very strongly.
It's I think the answer is just Zach Ertz. He's the only person who's ever seen a target.
Anyway, sorry, Carson Wentz entered last year.
So he just, you know, he doesn't throw to running backs. You know, despite that, I guess Taylor and Hines combined for well over 100 targets, so they have that going for them. But you know, Matt Ryan is a cement shoed old wily veteran who has a history of dumping it off, you know, as a means of moving the chains. You know, Matt Ryan is not going to take off out of the pocket. I'm sure you know this. I'm sure our listeners know this. And if he does, it probably won't be great. So I don't know if this means like this means disaster for Jonathan Taylor. I think that Jonathan Taylor could also benefit from an offense predicated on those kind of short dump offs, along with some downfield shots to Pittman and Hilton maybe. I'm not writing off Hines as a PPR option for sure.
Yeah, I do. I just don't understand why. I certainly understand why Nyheim Hines would get snaps, maybe like 15% of the snaps, I'm sure he's a better pass catcher by the letter of the law than Jonathan Taylor. But even if he's like from a fundamental standpoint, a better pass catcher than Jonathan Taylor, I still don't know why you wouldn't want these dump offs going to Jonathan Taylor, who's like the quintessential, anytime he touches the ball, it can be a 70-yard touchdown. So I just don't quite understand why. I mean, maybe it is like the sunk cost fallacy with the contract. Like, they're paying this guy, like they feel like they need to be using him, but they didn't need to be using him last year. I don't know why all of a sudden they would need to be using him this year when they have what could be, maybe now is already like the best running back in the NFL ahead of Derrick Henry. And I just don't know. I just don't understand the Colts Nyheim and Hines insistence from that perspective. I will say, from the Matt Ryan perspective, he badly needed an offensive line upgrade. Mm-hmm. As we know, he's getting that. But offensive line is not going to solve everything. Like you said, when you're cement shoed, so you need outlets. He didn't even have outlets with the Falcons. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson's not a great check down target just because he is not a good, he's never been like a very fundamentally sound pass catcher. Mike Davis was totally washed. So it's good from that perspective. I just don't understand from, like, we have the all-world Jonathan Taylor perspective.
No, it doesn't. From that standpoint, it doesn't make much sense. I will say that Atlanta's running backs last year, I guess this included CPAT, saw a 25% target share combined in that offense. And, you know, for years we saw Devontae Freeman rack up PPR points. He was kind of a cheat code at one point in that Atlanta offense. So Matt Ryan, you know, is – among like Philip Rivers, like Philip, you know, 2 years ago with the Colts, Philip Rivers fed Nyheim Hines, and it led to, you know, the third most receptions and targets in the league.
Yeah, Phil Rivers that's a quarterback stat, running back receptions.
Yeah, yeah.
He would have fed Rojo, like even if it had gotten everyone fired or maybe even killed, he would have fed Rojo. Even that's how committed he is to passing to running backs. So yeah, well, there's no way there's not going to be an uptick for Nyheim Hines. We do, like, at the very least, there's gonna be an uptick. So yeah, this time it counts with Nyheim Hines. Denny
always does.
You told me before the show that you wanted to talk about Jameis Winston as one of the winners from your free agency article.
Loser.
Yeah, you seemed to be winning that argument until they announced Tuesday morning that Taysom Hill would focus on tight end, and then they went out and signed Andy Dalton. So he lost one competitor Tuesday morning and then added another. And Andy, remember, Denny, some of the people listening to the show probably remember that you insisted all last summer that Andy Dalton would start for the Bears. Will the same be true for the Saints?
No, 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 no. There, it's Jameis's job. I mean, he would have to really flub it in the preseason or in training camp for Dalton. We're not going to have a Matt Nagy situation where Dennis Allen, the coach of the Saints, is going to say, you know, he's my QB1 going forward. Like, it's not going to happen. He signed as a backup. He might start a game or two if Jameis maybe struggles. My point in my free agency article talking about Jameis returning to New Orleans is that fantasy wise, it's not a good fit. It doesn't lead to anything exciting for anyone, you know. And Jameis Winston was, again, very inaccurate last year. Like, I tried to find ways to show that his accuracy had improved. It hadn't. It's just that the Saints had kind of reeled him in from his more volatile days as Tampa's starting quarterback. And it worked from a real football stance. It worked. I mean, they were on their way probably to the playoffs before his injury, end of the season, that knee injury. So, you know, he'll be boring again in a boring Saints offense again in 2022.
Yeah, I think Andy Dalton was more kind of like the Ian Book 1,000-yard stare, just like kind of like the haunted dead eyes that the entire Saints coaching staff had after watching that Ian Book start last year. Like, well, this cannot happen again. And like, Trevor Siemian can't happen again. I do think it's probably more about Trevor Siemian and Ian Book than Jameis Winston, while also thinking that, yeah, I mean, it's not exactly like it's outside the realm of possibilities that Jameis Winston gets a performance-based benching for Andy Dalton. Like, that could happen.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he's the guy with experience in the system. He's the guy with experience with the pass catchers. He is coming back from a torn ACL. But it's not like Andy Dalton has strengths that Jameis Winston does. I mean, Andy Dalton is now famed for the crippling interception as well.
Yeah.
It's not even like they can put Andy Dalton in as the safe choice.
Yeah. Just to reiterate, you know, something you mentioned a minute ago, there were reports from the NFL owners meetings this week that, you know, from Dennis Allen, actually, from the new coach of the Saints, that Taysom Hill will not be a quarterback this year, that he will focus on a full transition to tight end. So we could see Taysom Hill gain back the weight that he lost to try to be the quarterback. He'll still be annoying, I think, for fantasy. But the days, I think that Sean Payton's departure from New Orleans ended Taysom's days as a potential quarterback there.
You want to talk about a ghost that needed to be given up? Taysom Hill as the quarterback. The guy just, I mean, for his arm, I think it would be fair to characterize his arm as hilariously bad. Like, I've never seen worse deep attempts from a modern quarterback in my
life. Maybe from Trey Lance.
Well, even Trey Lance, though, is like more an accuracy thing. Yeah. Whereas like Taysom Hill has zero arm strength. He does not have NFL level arm strength. Like, he doesn't even have like off season, like practice squad, like padding the roster type NFL arm strength. He just straight up, like, if you were an NFL scout just watching Taysom Hill, like at an off season camp, you're like, well, okay, that guy doesn't have an NFL arm.
Right.
And Denny, it's okay if you know this answer off the top of your head and ruin the joke, but how old is Taysom Hill going to turn this August? Do you know?
Oh man. I don't know. 31,
32. He's always, no matter, I've never once had someone guess Taysom Hill was older than he actually was. It's always young. And they always try to guess old, like, Taysom.
Yeah.
They're like, Taysom's older than you think. I think he's like 27 or 28.
Right.
I'm like, no, he's 31. And everyone always,
I was going old.
Yeah.
Like, I thought maybe it could have been 28.
It's gonna be his age 32 season. Yeah. Not really sure what Sean Payton, I think like Sean Payton was like spending like too much time, like listening to Jimmy Buffett and like just trying to come up with crazy ideas.
There was a lot of galaxy braining with the Taysom Hill thing. I will say, look, Taysom Hill was fun. The reasons that I enjoy fantasy football include, you know, Taysom Hill being a quarterback and sometimes eligible to put in the tight end spot. That, to me, that's fun stuff. I appreciate Taysom Hill.
Yeah, you were always a Taysom backer, I will say, which goes against type for you. But you were always a Taysom defender. You weren't like a truther. You weren't like saying he was good.
No, he's not good.
But yeah, you were a defender. pay some hell.
But the fact that, I mean, he's one of the rare guys who can go into a fourth quarter with four fantasy points and finish with 22.
Yeah, you know, it's a special skill.
That's amazing.
And he can also beat teams that start Kendall Hinton. And he can also beat the Falcons twice. I think he beat the Falcons twice in 2020. Man, what a gift that keeps on giving the Atlanta Football Falcons. We will be right back.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
The madness is still upon us. Get an Edge Plus annual subscription now to unlock our college basketball DFS and betting tools with game predictions, player prop projections, and more. Get ready to cut down the nets using promo code BRACKETS20. Plus, you will get every tool for every sport with your Edge Plus subscription, including our new fantasy baseball draft guide powered by RotoWorld. I have heard of that website, RotoWorld. Go to NBCSportsEdge.com/EdgePlus and use promo code BRACKETS20 at checkout to find your edge. Hello, Denny. Have you watched any of the NCAA tournament, by the way?
No, I stopped watching when my bracket went to hell. There's no reason to watch after that.
Really? You okay. So you really don't find anything compelling in the NCAA tournament? By the way, NCAA tournament, this is not like an NBC property that we need to promote. Like, you really don't find anything in the NCAA tournament? Because like, to me, I mean, I love it still.
No, I struggle to find the appeal. It's just such bad basketball.
It's bad basketball, but it's like heart. What's the word? Rending. Is that the phrase?
Heart wrenching.
No, I think heart rending. Isn't it?
Okay.
Heart rending is causing great sadness or stress.
I mean, I mean, I can sort of get it. Here's the thing. I was at someone's house on Saturday when the Houston Villanova game.
All right.
So Houston was my last ditch because Houston is the analytics darling. And, you know, I went with them to go to the championship game. Anyway, the fact that Houston didn't have anyone on their team who could shoot beyond 4 feet from the basket.
It was a bit of a problem.
That stinks. Like, what's with that? You don't have anyone who can shoot. Your entire offense is just charging to the basket, like circa Dwayne Wade in 2006, like just hurling your body and just throwing the ball up behind your back and hoping you get a foul. That's the entire Houston offense. They stink.
Well, they were returning. I believe they had five new starters from last year's Final Four team. And yeah, they did what they lacked in shooting polish. They were trying to make up for it with grit and heart.
Grit,
and
defensive determination. No, one thing that I would suggest the Houston Cougars do in the offseason is work on their shooting. You know, that would help, I think, in basketball to be able to put the ball through the hoop from a distance outside of 4 feet. That's just one thought.
It is important.
I'm upset.
I love the NCAA tournament, even though it's not an NBC property. And I've watched almost, including while I was on vacation with my family last week, I had a few very cliche, stereotypical dad behaviors. Like I had it up on my phone at one point.
Oh, man.
I made a stop at the hotel bar to watch the end of a game at one
really?
Point. Yeah.
That is big time dad energy.
Yes. Yeah, I was exuding it. ESPN's Diana Rossini reported Tuesday that the Chiefs are actively making phone calls to try and trade for another top wide receiver, quote unquote. Danny, I asked you, like, who this could be. DK Metcalf's one of the names that's been out there for a long time. Brandon Cooks. So first off, do they need to do this after signing Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling? I'm assuming the answer is yes.
Yes, the answer is yes, absolutely. Just,
what's the lay of the land? Who do we want to see the Chiefs get? Would DK Metcalf, would he be a wide receiver one in Kansas City?
Yeah. Wait, for no, I think he's like a top
three. He was barely a wide receiver one last year, though, with Russell Wilson. Like, he had a decent amount of target competition.
DK Metcalf would be quite intriguing, I think, as the unquestioned wide receiver one. So Nate Taylor from The Athletic, really good Chiefs beat writer, published a piece on Tuesday. I suggest everybody check it out, that said that basically Andy Reid has not been shy about saying, look, for a long time, we were actively targeting and signing small, fast players, right? Including Tyreek Hill. And you know, defenses have figured that out. And we saw that last year where the Chiefs had to transition to this kind of dink and dunk formula in order to get past what defenses were doing to their formerly potent offense. Now the team has shifted toward trying to get big and fast rather than small and fast. So you get Juju, big. MVS, who is shockingly 6'4". He's I didn't know that.
I thought he was 6'5". He's very big.
I had no clue. He's the smallest 6'5 dude in history. But yeah, and so Metcalf would mesh, I think, perfectly with this new approach. Oh, and Ronald Jones, big running back. Very really big running back compared to McKinnon and CEH.
CEH, you know, CEH, thanks for coming on the show. He was like our size in terms of height.
He was short.
He was actually shorter than both of us.
So I'm not a tall guy, and CEH was shorter than me at the Super Bowl. I mean, look, I'm not nothing against CEH. Was the single nicest person I met at the Super Bowl, including Pat. So, you know, nothing against him. But they're trying to get bigger. Metcalf would go perfectly with this shift in philosophy.
Yeah, would there? I guess that was probably a dumb question. Would he be a wide receiver one? But he did struggle to be a wide receiver one last year. And like, I mean, Travis Kelce is still going to be like the alpha target. I mean, Juju Smith is kind of famous for being a target vacuum too.
Yeah.
I mean, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is not famous for being a target hog. No. Although he was more of a target commander last year than he had ever been before. There's no way he wouldn't be a big play-based wide receiver one. He might still only get like 8 targets a game. But like, he's the kind of player where he can be a big play based wide receiver one. He doesn't need to be a volume based wide receiver one.
So in my wide receiver year in review piece on the site, I mentioned that all of Metcalf's peripheral numbers stayed reasonably the same, like almost shockingly the same in a horrible 2021 season, in which, you know, part of the season Metcalf wasn't even fantasy viable in 12 team leagues. Okay, like I get that, and it was frustrating, but nothing points to him like falling off the face of the earth. And I think he would be tremendous in the KC offense.
No, yeah. I mean, he's still like an extraordinarily talented player. And I think I was just speaking more from like circumstance than I was like a DK Metcalf, like talent. Man, he had a weird year last year.
He did.
It's a really, really weird year.
Remember when he caught that long touchdown in like the first play of the game from Geno Smith?
Do I ever? Because I needed like one more catch to win a matchup. And I knew, I think it was literally an 80-yard touchdown. It was either 75 or 80 yards. I can't remember. And I know, the Seahawks offense was performing horribly at this point. And so even after the 75-yard touchdown, I think I needed like literally 1.1 more PPR points. I knew that it wasn't taken. I knew that I couldn't assume that with how poorly they were playing, but I, in my head, I was like, you know, come on. Like,
it's going to
happen. He's going to catch another ball. And then I think it took to like the dying seconds of the game.
Yes.
He finally caught another. And I was about to lose my matchup when all I needed was like 2 catches and 80 yards. And he got a 75-yard touchdown. Like, it was one of my worst fantasy sweats I've ever had. Yeah. He had 2 catches for 96 yards in this game in week 7 against the Saints. And I waited. I've never waited longer for a second catch than I did that night.
I remember I had him rostered in DFS that day, and he caught it. I was like, okay, well, I made the right call. I'm going to make all the money.
Yeah. On my way, folks. Yeah, not how it worked with either the Saints or the Seahawks in 2021. Brandon Cooks, by the way, any thoughts on Brandon? I mean, is that even a thing? Has anyone like rumored that?
Yeah, there was some scuttlebutt on among beat writers that Brandon Cooks might be available. So the idea is that the draft capital that Kansas City acquired in exchange for Tyreek Hill will be used now to they'll flip that for a Metcalf, maybe a Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks would not align with this new philosophical shift to bigger guys. No. You know, Brandon Cooks being the opposite of big. So I think that Metcalf is a real possibility, but the Seahawks would really have to be entering like a complete teardown situation for that to happen.
Yeah. If there's one thing Pete Carroll is good at, it's denial.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised they even gave up on Russell Wilson. But Pete Carroll's very good at being in denial.
And Pete Carroll was asked at the owners' meetings, you know, what about extending Metcalf? And he is just very vague. We love DK. We want him on our team. He's someone who I would love to have. Things like that. And you
want him to marry your daughter. I mean, I'm sure he threw
that in there. Not that again. You read the quotes and you go, there's something not right about this Metcalf Seattle situation.
There is something very odd there. Probably that he's playing with Drew Locke and is not happy about it.
They can't do that to him, right? They can't do that.
The Drew Locke chatter seems alarmingly real, is all I'll say. Alarmingly real.
Pete Carroll said, quote, it's all upside with Drew Locke.
I mean,
that's what he said today.
It's hard to see how it could get worse. So from that perspective, it is upside.
Oh, God, that's what he meant. You're right.
That is what he meant.
Oh, man.
Denny, the Dolphins admitted Monday that they are listening to trade offers for Devontae Parker. He is not a Kyle Shanahan type receiver, as a guy who like catches it on the sideline and then just kind of that's where he lays. He's not a yak guy, right?
Yeah,
so he's never been a yak guy, right? No. Like Devontae Parker is like the ultimate catch and fall big receiver. And the Dolphins have a wide receiver glut following the Tyreek Hill addition. They need to trade Devontae Parker, maybe just eventually release him. Is there anywhere that would actually be an exciting landing spot for Devontae Parker? Like there was the Green Bay Packers. Like, is there anywhere we could get excited about Devontae Parker?
Oh man, that would be difficult. I guess Kansas City is one.
Yeah, big folks, he's your guy.
And one person we haven't mentioned with the Kansas City situation is Josh Gordon. I know Gordon is 31, 32 years old or whatever, but like he's still on the roster.
Is he still on the roster?
He's a big guy, you know.
Sure about that? Is he still on the roster?
I'm not now that you say it. No, I'm not sure, but I said it anyway.
We still have him on the roster. Yeah, he signed a reserve future deal, so he's on the roster.
Well, there you go. I was looking up Devontae Parker's yards after catch average, and apparently it's so low that I can't.
he's famously not yak, but he is famously like he'll catch it 18 yards down the field. He'll get you. Like no more, no less. He's that kind of guy.
Okay, here it is. Here, I just found it. Devontae Parker, 2.7 yard yak per reception. Right, that's in line with Allen Robinson, Marvin Jones, and Rashad Higgins.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, he is that kind of player. I mean, Rashad Higgins. Wow, talk about down bad. He's supposed to be a slot guy. You got to have more yak than that, man.
Yeah.
And so there's like nowhere. Devontae Parker just like. His legs might just be gone.
Yeah, he's an old young guy for sure.
He is. He's had so many lower body injuries the past 2 years. Just like an extraordinary amount. He's basically had one good half season his entire career.
Oh, yeah.
The second half of the 2019 season. He's never even been above 800 yards in any other season. Green Bay Packers, I mean, man, what the heck are the Packers doing a receiver?
Yikes,
I
man.
Just don't even know.
Well, Matt LaFleur said on Tuesday, we need to add speed to the receiver room. I took that to maybe mean Will Fuller, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
It's weird. They had so many chances to acquire Will Fuller and have never done it.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just waiting for his price to totally collapse.
Or they could do that weird thing that the Packers never do and draft a receiver.
They will be drafting a receiver, but they also need to be signing a receiver.
Yeah, they do.
They need to be doing lots of things.
Their receiver room is super sad. I mean, to the point where it's like, is Aaron Rodgers like draftable as a top 10 quarterback?
Yeah, it's real bad. But yeah, Devontae Parker's about to turn 29.
Oh man, I thought he was younger than that.
No, there's not a lot going on there. Oof. I mean, I'm just looking at these teams. I just don't see anywhere where you'd see a big boot other than Green Bay.
Maybe. Well, he'd have to fall into like a perfect situation where he's in a functional offense that is like desperate for someone who could to command targets.
Maybe Arizona.
You know what? That might work.
Arizona or Green Bay are the two I see. It's like scrolling through the teams that might make a bit of sense. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons could use a receiver or nine.
They got Auden Tate, who's probably the better version of
him. He actually probably is better than Devontae at this point. Anyways, Devontae Parker, we're not too excited. You are excited about Albert O. And I feel like this has been a thing now for a while. New Broncos coach Nathaniel Hackett has claimed he wants to use Albert O as a quote-unquote hybrid tight end receiver in the team's offense this season. Noah Fant is gone. Russell Wilson likes to target tight ends. I will caution, as a Mizzou alum who saw a lot of Albert O college football, guy has been something of injury prone. We don't know if it's actually a real thing or not, but he seems to get hurt a lot. But Danny, how excited are we about Albert O?
Yeah, Hackett said, first of all, I believe it was unprompted. He said we were going to treat him as a hybrid receiver tight end. We're excited to get the ball in his hands. I looked into Albert O's peripherals a little bit from last year. And, you know, it wasn't fantastic. He only saw 40 targets all season. And that included games where Noah Fant wasn't playing. So that's not.
It's still more than you would expect for a tight end where you had zero expectations for them heading into the season.
Like right.
40 targets, that is still, while low, like a noteworthy number for someone who, I mean, there was no reason for him to get 40 targets other than they thought he was really good.
But he has shown some ability to command targets, which is always important for any pass catcher, but especially tight ends. He had a 24% target per route run rate last year, which is in line with Dallas Goedert, with Travis Kelce. I'm not saying he's Travis Kelce, but I am saying
you
that
just said it.
On you're hammering Albert O over Kelce this year. But you know, he only ran 166 pass routes. He saw a 24% target per route rate. And that is sometimes a signal to say, if this guy gets more opportunity, more pass catching route running opportunity, it could lead to very good things. This is how, you know, Pat Corain spotted Darren Waller before his breakout by pointing to this stat. So it's something worth paying attention to this offseason.
You mean Albert O reminds me of another former Mizzou great, Denario Alexander, where if he could just ever stay healthy, like Albert O does have like just a ridiculous like overall package of athletic and like pass catching traits. So if he stays healthy, he could be like a special fantasy player.
Well, and I guess we buried the lead here in saying that Russell Wilson is now his quarterback, not Drew Locke.
Yeah, so that helps. Hey, speaking of Mizzou greats, Drew Locke.
Your Mizzou is down bad.
Yeah, we are. We got a new basketball coach, though.
There you go. Let's
get the Duco recruits. It's looking really nice. But while we were talking, Rivers McCown slacked me where the Falcons social media team is tweeting out Auden Tate highlights. And I'm talking about down bad. I mean, Auden Tate could be a good NFL player, but they tweeted, "Sheesh, Auden Tate," with the scream emoji. And like, maybe just don't oversell Auden Tate. So the Falcons fans have suffered enough.
That I saw that and I watched the highlight thinking, oh, this is probably great. And it was a fine catch.
It's fine. Yeah.
Here's what I took away from that highlight. And if listeners are wondering what we're doing, you got to look on the Falcons social media. The Falcons are doing their best. Okay. What they did is they had a highlight from Auden Tate catching a high throw from, I believe, Andy Dalton 2 years ago, in which he used his 6'6" frame to nab it out of the air. He fell and hurt his shoulder. I don't know if that's the greatest Auden Tate highlight that they could have found, but apparently it was.
No, I just watched it, and the audio was playing very loudly in my ear while you were talking, and it was Andy Dalton. The Rams still had not changed uniforms, so that's not good. The NFL 100 logo is on the field. The 100th anniversary season was 2 years ago. I don't know, man. Maybe keep that one in the drafts. Is all I'll say to the Falcons social media team. Denny, you wrote an article about free agency winners and losers for NBCSportsEdge.com last week. We've already talked about most of these, the free agent winners and losers, in our various podcasts over the past few weeks, but We wanted to talk about three people. One of them was Jameis Winston. We've already talked about Winston. But we wanted to talk about Rashad Penny and David Njoku. I agree. I mean, Rashad Penny, a huge, like, this is what he needed to do. He needed to remain in the system. He needed to remain in a team that was going to be clearly run first. So do you share some optimism for Rashad Penny?
I take no pleasure in reporting. I put Rashad Penny in the losers category.
Oh, no. I'm sad. I was trying to build that up into a winner.
I'm sorry, man, but anyone who signs with the Seahawks is down bad this year. I mean, this stinks. You know, Chris Carson is probably going to be back.
Nah, I keep forgetting about that guy.
Man, the team loves him. They love Chris Carson. They're going to give him the starting role. Rashad Penny's going to see 6 carries a game. It's going to stink.
He's not going to get 6 carries a game. But he's proven, I think, that he needs to be like the He lends credence to like the notion that there are some backs that truly do need workloads to be effective. Like Derrick Henry, like he's the classic, give him 15 carries. He's going to gain 10 plus yards on at least 2 of them.
Yeah.
And oftentimes 20 or 30 plus yards. You give him 6 or 7, he could very easily just have like 7 carries for 11 yards. Like he's a guy you give a chance to hit home runs. And yeah, he's not a commit. He's not good at like sharing the early down workload.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but you have a Seahawks offense that averaged the fewest plays, offensive plays per game last year. They had the 12th lowest pass rate of 57%. Even when they were trailing, they had a low pass rate of 62%. So with Drew Lock or whoever, maybe Geno Smith is a legit contender. If they re-sign him, he's a legit contender to start for the Seahawks in the year of our Lord 2022. I just feel like no one, even Rashad Penny, who was spectacular. He was the best running back in the NFL last year in the final 6 weeks. And there's no argument about that. That's just a fact. Even he can't succeed in that sort of system, in that sort of environment.
I will say, I will differ a little on Rashad Penny, where a guy has had so many injuries, has had so many career variables. He didn't strike me as someone where it would have been particularly great for him to like start over. And now, I mean, this is an offense that's always been run-based and will now, like, unequivocally be run-based. Like, they're going to be as committed to the run as we've ever seen Pete Carroll committed to the run, which is hard to believe. I don't think it's awful from that perspective. Chris Carson, too, I mean, is also, like, a major variable. I mean, we really don't know if he'll, like, ever even play football again. He's trending the right direction with his neck injury, but it's not, like, taken for granted yet. And I don't think... So it would have been nice, I guess, to see a player this explosive with this big playability end up in like a more modern, like big play offense. Yeah. But I don't think it was the worst outcome in the world for Rashad Penny. I will say that. I also totally understand your points, like that the offensive environment just might be so bad that it doesn't matter.
I personally was really hoping that the Dolphins would show some interest in Rashad Penny.
That would have been cool. That would have definitely been cool. But yeah, they instead this Raheem Mostert. And Chase Edmonds, man, there's no way. I mean, Chase Edmonds' workload is not going to increase like at all. And he's not going to be the goal line, but it's going to be the same thing from last
year. Zero chance.
Is David Njoku a winner or a loser, Denny?
He's a winner. He is a winner in life and in free agency. You know, the only thing really holding him back was this weird three-way split that the Browns have deployed at tight end over the past two seasons. No one uses two tight ends on offense more than the Browns. So you're still going to see, you're still going to see Njoku and Harrison Bryant play a good amount of snaps and run a good amount of routes. But with Austin Hooper finally out of the picture, it really opens things up for Njoku. And of course he gets the quarterback upgrade with Deshaun Watson. Watson has never been one to target tight ends too heavily. But he has, kind of led offenses with some productive tight ends long time ago in 2020. The Texans tight end, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Yeah, the guy.
That dude.
Brevin Jordan Akins. Dan Fells.
Akins, yes. Jordan Akins had 200 receiving yards and 15 catches in the season's first 4 weeks before an injury.
This is your God.
Right. So
serious.
So if Njoku's, I wrote in the piece, if Njoku's route participation jumps from its current 50% rate thereabouts to like 70 to 75%, which is not a ton to ask, honestly, with Hooper leaving Cleveland. I think he'll have every chance to be an every week starter in fantasy.
I will say, you said the only thing holding David Njoku back was the three tight end. David Njoku has also held David Njoku back over the years. Where he is, he's classic, like so mistake prone. Like anytime his role got expanded, he would do something like, well, I don't know why David Njoku just handed the ball to the safety in the end zone. So that was weird. But now the Steelers have it at the 20-yard line for some reason. And he has been that kind of player throughout his career. Man, how the heck is he only 26? He's going to be like 26.
He's
only had one 500-yard season ever. He's a strange player.
There are a lot of numbers that point to him being good. And Njoku last year was ninth in yards per route run among tight ends. That was ahead of guys like TJ Hockenson, Hunter Henry, and Mike Gesicki. I really think that you know, Njoku eventually, or if he's not already, will be the reason people kind of walk around muttering, oh, tight end's deep this year, tight end's deep this year. It's not going to be true, but he, you know, he's a nice case study in how it could be deep.
About two-thirds of the time you were talking, I was trying to remember in my head which team Austin Hooper is on now. But has he actually even signed with anybody? I didn't want to look it up and spoil it. So who's he on? Because I was like, I gotta try to remember that, and I don't even know who he's on now.
He is playing for the Tennessee Titans, and I believe he will see fewer than 12 targets this year.
No, boy, talk about down bad. The Ferk daddy, man, that's the dream's dead there.
Let me tell you, the Titans coaches near the end of last year didn't hold back with Ferk daddy. No. They said this didn't work out, and we are moving on.
Yeah, didn't this guy go to Harvard?
Yeah, you think he'd figure it out? Yeah, smart.
I thought he was smart.
Come on.
Hey, Austin Hooper went to Stanford. Yeah, Austin Hooper. I mean, man, what the heck was that all about? 38 catches last year. You could have given me 10 guesses, and I wouldn't have guessed the Titans. By the way, I couldn't remember where he signed.
Yeah, listen, Austin Hooper, like. I would recommend him, of course, when Njoku was out, when Harrison Bryant was struggling with injuries, and he would run like the most routes of any tight end that week and catch three balls. One of them was a touchdown, thank God. But yeah, Austin Hooper is, you know, like Austin, if you're listening, I'm sorry. He's washed. He's completely washed.
He had 787 yards his final season in Atlanta. Then he had 780 in 2 years in Cleveland. And this was a team that was desperate for targets.
Like they wanted him, like the Browns wanted Austin Hooper to be a thing so badly for years.
And yeah, that's RIP to the Ferk daddy though. And who was the other tight end that, man, it's already
Jeff Swaim.
Oh yeah, Swaim with a G. Jeff Swaim, folks. I'm looking him up. Is he still? I can't remember. I think he was a free agent.
They re-signed him. Look, we're at the Jeff Swaim Truther Club. We are happy that he re-signed with our Tennessee Titans.
He re-signed early in the legal tampering period, so they're high on him.
They love him. They love him. Look, they love his blocking, and you know, unfortunately, he is a good blocker. Austin Hooper, not a good blocker.
Yeah, even though
Mike Vrabel did say we love Austin Hooper's blocking.
Oh, there you go. So, and there our show goes. We are over for today. A lot to talk about. There's just always a lot to talk about in this NFL.
Oh, yeah.
You wake up not having any clue what you're going to talk about. I actually said we were going to talk about the Patriots, and we never did.
That's okay. There's too much. As long as we got Rojo in, that's all I can.
I mentioned the Patriots in the intro to the podcast.
Whoops.
Yeah, they're bad now. I mean, they're still going 10-7 though.
What we were going to say is Matt Patricia is the de facto offensive coordinator, and that can't be good.
No, my God. What is going on there, man? It's to the point with Bill Belichick where it's been so like nonsensical, inexplicable this offseason, just like not signing anybody, letting everyone that's not true. They haven't signed anybody. Like letting coaching and player talent go out the door and doing nothing. That you just feel like it's a trap somehow. Like he's just like springing a trap in some way. And they're not.
Bringing back Joe Judge. This is not a bit, folks. Joe Judge to work with the quarterbacks. This is not a bit. This is Joe Judge who famously ran two quarterback sneaks on second and third downs last year. It's just tremendous galaxy braining by Belichick. I don't see it working out.
I'll tell you, it's not a bit. It's a trap. It's a trap of some sort, and they're going 13-4.
Oh, stop. No, this is it. This is the year.
It's a trap. That's a trap. It's a trap. Don't believe it.
This is the year it collapses. I truly believe that.
Well, it seems like even he thinks this is the year it's collapse. Like, it seems like he's looking beyond 2022 and is just like that he didn't value any of these players that let go that highly, but he didn't want to pay them, but the replacements aren't out there. So it almost does seem like there's kind of like punting on 2022.
Their tight end gambit from last year didn't work. Okay. Mac Jones is not a difference making quarterback. Like, that's very,
well, I mean, hold on.
He's
not a difference maker, but I mean, you can't totally dismiss.
He's just a guy.
The criticism for Mac Jones might be that he's already near his ceiling. But like, if your ceiling involves making the playoffs as a rookie, like, you can't just be like totally dismissed.
Oh man, let me tell you, my urge to dismiss is strong.
It's understandable, but because he might already be at his ceiling is the thing with Mac Jones.
Yeah.
But anyways, okay, now the show's actually over. Thank you for listening today. Listen later this week. Patrick Crane will be back with some great guests. I believe Ryan McDowell. Hopefully that's actually true. Like, not like our Patriots thing and like Ryan McDowell's on the show, but Crane will be back later in the week. Check out our show from Monday with Matt Straub, Kyle Dvorchik, and Zach Kruger. For Denny Carter, I am Patrick Daugherty. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.